All right. Hello and welcome, lawyers, to another episode of the Wildly Successful Law Firm Podcast. I'm your host, Nermeen Jasani. And before I air this week's episode, there's a couple of really important things that I wanted to point out about this episode. So, number one, if you are looking at today's date and you are just thinking to yourself, my God, this tax season was a nightmare, I need to find someone who can get me my books faster, who can give me the strategic advice I need, or, oh my God, I can't believe I ended up paying so much in taxes, or whatever it is that happened to you this tax season, I want you to consider reaching out to me about our bookkeeping services and CFO services. This is something that we've been offering our clients and are now officially making available to new clients. So if you are interested, all you have to do is go to thelawfirmbookkeeper.com or send me an email, nermeen@wrws.com. And the second thing that I wanted to point out on this specific episode is, yes, if you are looking for a new website or an SEO person in 2024, Travis and his team are going to be great. But I also want to remind you that you have to make sure that your practice area is a practice area that people are actually searching online for. And you have to know what your bandwidth is for new business. Because number one, if you are, let's say, an entertainment attorney, you are a really specific kind of attorney who gets a lot of their business like word of mouth, then online may not give you the search volume that you're looking for, right? So you can end up spending $20,000 on a website and not end up with one of a website that even works, or two, clicks to your website, actual traffic to your website, and new potential clients, right? And you want to make sure that you are looking at that and making sure that you've also got the bandwidth for if you turn on some sort of online marketing. Because if you've got 10 clients right now and you turn something on and all of a sudden you go from 10 to 40 new clients, yeah, that's great for your bank account, but it's going to be a terror on your mental health, on your whatever home life situation that you have. You want to make sure that when you turn this thing on, you're fully prepared for what's about to happen. And that doesn't mean that you're going to turn on some sort of marketing and overnight you're going to have, you know, 400 leads in your inbox. That is certainly not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is I want you to be mindful and think about it as how many clients do you actually need? And that will help you decide what your budget should be. So all of that being said, let's get into this week's episode. And again, if you are looking for some bookkeeping services, reach out to us. We're not here to judge how you spend your money, and we're not here to make those numbers complicated. We are here to help you become profitable in your law firm. All right, here's the episode. All right. Welcome to the Wildly Successful Law Firm Podcast. I am your podcast host, Nermeen Jasani, and I've got a really exciting guest with us here today. So as you guys know, I don't often have guests on unless they are really, really special. And the reason I'm having this guest on today is because a client of mine was just burned pretty badly in the five-figure number burned by a website marketing company. And I'm here with someone who obviously doesn't burn his clients. And we're going to have a whole conversation about what to look for when you're looking for a marketing company and what red flags to look for and all that good stuff. So here with me is Travis. Travis, please introduce yourself to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. My name is Travis Hecklin, and I'm the CEO of Rise Up Media. We're an online marketing company for attorneys, exclusively for attorneys. We work with just about 400 law firms all across the U.S., all different practice areas, shapes, and sizes. Most of our clients are solo practitioners, up to about 10 attorneys. Not that we don't work with a few bigger ones, certainly, but that tends to be the the sweet spot. Those are the ones that typically need the most help.
Yeah. And you know what I love about what you just said is that you only work with attorneys in law firms. That is really important when you are hiring a company. You want to make sure that they're not just building their first website for a law firm, right? Like, yes. you want to make sure that they've made all the mistakes with other people and like you are their number 401 or 402 or whatever that is. So now that we are talking about this, Travis, tell me, what are some of the mistakes that you see when people are hiring marketing companies, website agencies? Like, what are you seeing that you wish that they would have done differently? Like, if they had come to you, you would have told them, be careful.
Yeah. I think the what you just touched on, that if I'm a lawyer, I'm hiring somebody. I mean, even take us out of it to be numb. You have to hire somebody who knows, who works with attorneys and probably exclusively, right? Because we get calls all the time for other industries, and it's just not that we couldn't do it, but it takes so much bandwidth to do this. Myself, my business partners, and probably we have 40 some odd employees. A majority of them have worked in this line of work, marketing for attorneys, for over 10, 15 years, most of them, some of them more than 20. So it's so important, especially because if someone's going to market for you, talking about the website and so forth, they got to be able to speak the language, right? They got to know the lingo, especially if they're going to write content for you. And if somebody's going to market for you on your website, they better be writing content, or that would probably lead me into the second thing there is, you know what you're buying. Right. I can't tell you how many folks come to us and go, oh, I'm spending $5,000 a month or $20,000 a month or whatever. I go, okay, what is your agency doing for you? I have no idea. Is there any deliverables? Did they map out a strategy? You know, any of those things. So picking an agency that knows lawyer marketing, certainly. And number two, know what you're getting on a monthly basis. I know, you know, my dad's a doctor, and he always told me, hey, I never took one business or a marketing class going through medical school. And lawyers are typically the same way. So I totally get it. But at least know on a basic level what they're delivering to you, because that's typically the smoke and mirrors where a lot of these agencies that burn their clients is they don't disclose what they're doing on a monthly basis. And that's typically a humongous red flag.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I will say this, make sure that the contract reflects what they're going to do on a monthly basis. So if they are going to do some sort of quote unquote reputation management for you, meaning that they're going to respond to your Google reviews, your Facebook reviews, you know, all the places that you live on the internet, Yelp, Instagram, wherever it is that you live, that your law firm shows up on Google search results, if they're going to do any sort of that reputation management for you, you want to make sure that it's written somewhere in a contract and how frequently they're going to do it. So are they going to check in weekly? Are they going to check in monthly? Like, how is that going to be paced out? So you definitely want to make sure of that. And the other thing I always say is you got to make sure that you're setting up a monthly call or at least a quarterly call. And there's so many things that can be discussed during like monthly and quarterly calls, including just, hey, you know, we're noticing, you know, a lot of people visiting this one blog page. Maybe we need to create three other subtopics around this one topic that's getting a lot of traffic. So you definitely want to make sure that you've got these meetings, that you're able to talk to your team or at least someone who is on retainer and able to support you on a monthly basis, whether that's an account manager or maybe sometimes the firm is small enough that you're meeting with the owner itself. Whatever it is, make sure you get that monthly meeting.
And track stuff. And I would say the third thing is make sure you can track everything, right? Because, you know, whether you're doing, you know, maybe you're doing SEO on your website, maybe you're doing PPC, maybe you're doing local service ads, things of that nature. What I see is a lot of folks just come to us and they go, and they're spending a little bits of money in a lot of different places, and they don't know where the business is coming from because they're not tracking everything. They don't know where the clicks are coming from. More importantly, they don't know where which they get a phone call and they don't know which of their campaigns, which directory listing, which pay-per-click campaign, whatever, which one is producing business. and getting a return on investment. So what they end up doing, the default is, you know, cover your eyes and cover your ears and just go, hey, don't unplug anything because I don't know which one. You know, it looks like, I always make the joke, it's like Christmas Vacation where Clark pulls out the ball of Christmas lights and he goes, ah, a little knot here, and then hands it to Russ or whatever. That's what most people, most lawyers' marketing strategy look like when they come to us. Go, here you go. I'm a, what is working and what isn't? I have no idea. So they don't unplug anything. And so they're wasting all this money. So we have to untangle the ball of lights and figure out which ones are twinkling and which ones aren't. And so that make sure you're putting tracking numbers on everything. Because if you're getting a 10-to-1 return on your local service ads and you're getting a 10-to-1 return on your website, but you're getting a 2-to-1 return on your pay-per-click campaign, for example, well, when you have those monthly calls, I think that's a great idea. We try and encourage all of our clients to do that. You need to switch where that money's coming from, right? Double down on the things that are working if you want more business, and eliminate the things that you're not getting a return on. But yes, track everything.
Absolutely. What Travis said is so important. And I want you to know that when someone comes in like a CFO like me, and I'm going to go through and look at the expenses every single month, I need to see that these expenses are justified. So I can't have a lawyer who says, oh, let's keep everything on. No, no, no. We're going to figure out like what's actually working and what's not, because maybe it's, you know, $10,000 that you're spending a month on pay-per-click. You can now take that $10,000 and put it into an office manager, a new attorney, whatever that is. Like, it's just, you can keep that money, but use it for a better purpose. So I love that you said that, Travis. Now, one question that I absolutely want to ask you for, and we're going to, I want an honest answer here. So how often do you think law firms should redo their website? Because I will tell you, I see websites out there with photos of you from 2002. You do not look the same anymore, buddy. I'm very sorry. I see, you know, really old looking websites. And even I would say I see some from 4 years ago with like these bright colors, and I just sort of cringed because I'm like, what were you thinking? Like using yellow all over your website, like,
yes.
And you're working with elderly people, like that's not a color that they can see very well. Like what's going on? So tell me honestly, how often do law firm owners need to update their website?
I would say every 2 to 3 years is probably on par with what, I mean, it's all, and I understand, I'm sure your listeners who are attorneys are sitting there cringing because it's like, you know, going through that whole process of doing the website over again is honestly like a lot of the reason why people stay with the marketing company, because they just think, you know what, if I'm breaking even over there, it's better than having to go through that process. But I promise you, we try to make it as easy as possible. But I would say every couple, 2-3 years is about right. You know, but you know, there are some sites, definitely update the pictures for sure. I understand we all want to look like we did 15 years ago. I totally can relate to that, you know, type of thing. As I told you, I have a face for radio, you know, so I totally get that. But I do think updating the pictures and all that good stuff is at minimum, if not a whole redesign for sure.
Yeah, I agree too. And here's what I would say. If you're working with an agency that's already built it once with you, and then you just need to set aside money, right? Like every 3 years, know that you're going to invest $15,000, $20,000 on a new website on just a facelift, right? You may not need to do, you know, a full, you know, background foundation finish, right? Like maybe we're just repainting the walls, right? Like maybe we're just updating some photos, updating some words, moving some things around. Maybe, you know, when you were first hired and you started working on your website, you were doing, you know, trademarks only. And now after 3 years, you're now doing copyright, you know, infringement as well or something else. Then you want to have your website actually reflecting that. And that's why it's really important to go ahead and update your website, you know, every 2 to 3 years. And if 2 years feels too soon, go for 3 years, but just set aside the money. Like already know in your mind that when you hire this team, you're going to need a new website in 3 years because it's going to start to look old. Like if you think about what Instagram even looked like 3 years ago or what Facebook looked like 3 years ago, you'd be like, what? This is completely different. And that's because things keep changing, and you wouldn't want to use Instagram or Facebook from 3 years ago for the same reason that your clients probably don't want to click on your website from 3 years ago. So absolutely keep updating that. Now let's talk about a full marketing strategy in 2024. Let's say I'm a law firm owner. I'm hitting, you know, somewhere between 2 to 3 million a year. And I come to you and I say, all right, listen, I want to hit 5 million this year, Travis. What do I need to do? What does a good marketing strategy for you look like for that very specific kind of client?
Yeah. Well, I think rule of thumb is in business, they say, you know, your marketing budget should be somewhere between 8% and 12% of your revenue, right? Somewhere. And then I think we see a lot of firms not do that, right? Because the fortunate part of a lot of lawyers or lawyers period is that they hang a shingle and, you know, they get friends and family sending them business. So they work off a lot of referrals. And if I had a dollar for every time an attorney told me I get all my best business from referrals, I get that. But to expand what you're doing, if you're trying to scale your business, right, that 8% to 12% is where I would start. And then, but that's going to, and how you do that is going to vary based on your practice. What I think a lot of lawyers, what I find what a lot of lawyers haven't thought through, and we spend a lot of time on this. I think it catches our clients, our prospects by surprise, because usually they're used to talking to someone like me and that we're just spitting, you know, meta tags and title tags and inbound links and all this garbage that's important to us, not important to them, or from their knowledge base. Is we go through, what is your goals? What are your goals? What are you trying to do? You know, how did your, you know, back to why you hire somebody who knows the law business, like, do they know the difference between retainers and contingency, right? Like,
yep.
A lot of PI or employment firms that come to us that get paid on contingency come to us, mm-hmm. and they haven't thought through, like, okay, you need to spend, like in LA, if you're going to do SEO work, you need to do at least 10 grand a month. It's going to depend on where their site is now. If they're just hung a new shingle or put up a website, then it's going to take some time. There's been guys and gals doing this for a decade and a half or two decades, adding content backlinks. You have some catching up to do. So I don't think they've thought through, like, can you, like a car accident attorney or PI attorney here in Southern California, can you stomach 10 to 15 to 20 grand minimum per month for SEO? And not
and 9 months. Yeah. Six to nine months. Yeah.
At minimum. Yeah. I tell people, look at six to 12 month glances to judge failure success. And if you and I just put up a website and we're trying to show up for car accidents in LA, we're not, we got about a 24 month kind of look here before we show up there, even going at it aggressively. So have you thought that through? I tell people, like, PI turn, I'm like, if I showed up on this call with 5 car accident cases over my shoulder and handed them to you, you're still not seeing money for 6 to 12 months based on your own business model and how you get paid out. Like, have you thought that through? So mm-hmm. does it make sense to go? I tell people there's, you know, kind of long-term and I wouldn't say short-term, because that would make people think that you should shut it off at some time, but I would say instant gratification type of marketing, right? Like, have you thought that through? Like, people come to my mom, can you stomach building out a website, doing SEO on a website? Or do we need to incorporate pay-per-click or local service ads or Facebook ads or something like that that's going to get the phone ringing right away, right? And so I would say an 8 to 12, and listen, we, our own business, we're probably in the 25 to 30%. As far as marketing, we're in a heavy growth phase right now, and we have to make that up, you know, in other places. But for a law firm, I would say that 8 to 12%. And then I would tell you, and I would say you need to be diversified as quick. Now, you got to start somewhere. Everyone has a budget, and you can't do everything. There's nice to haves and needs to haves and all that kind of thing. But I think diversifying, you know, building out sitting down with someone who will build out a strategy for your website, but at the same time, turning on something that will cash flow the business, if possible, as quickly as we can with ads, right? Pay-per-click, mm-hmm. maybe take a few days to set up something like that, but the phone, it'll be up in under a week. Mm-hmm. And then the phone has the ability to ring, right? Yep. If you do family law or criminal defense or whatever, something like that, where there's a retainer, you typically can scale those businesses much, much faster from a cash flow perspective So figure that out. Have somebody who has that knowledge base and are asking you those questions. Like, they don't know how you get paid. How are they going to market for you? Right. Mm-hmm, I see it too many times where, you know, you see it all over the internet. Oh, I tried SEO, it didn't work. I spent a bunch of money for 6 months and it didn't work. Well, someone didn't explain to you that that's just the name of the game. Yeah. You know, it wasn't wrong. It was just the wrong strategy for you.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing. But yeah, I would say, and get diversified, because you don't know where, we all don't know where the internet is going in the next 6 days, much less 6 months or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell folks, you know, let's get one strategy working. Don't spend a little bit of money in a lot of different places. We see that all the time, and we'll probably get into that. But, you know, get one of the strategies working, know your return on investment, and then diversify, right? Like, have your website and then maybe doing pay-per-click. And then maybe you also migrate into local service ads and track them individually and know where your return on investment is. And that way you can, you're diversified, just like a stock guy would tell you, right? A financial planner would tell you, is diversify your portfolio. Same thing with your marketing, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with so much of what you just said right now, Travis. Now, there is a shiny object that I want to bring up here. So I feel like SEO is still a little bit of a shiny object syndrome that people get, or like a little bit of a magic pill, you know, like Ozempic these days. But there's the other one, and that's social media. People keep thinking, oh yes, I'm going to turn on, you know, Facebook ads, or I will post some really funny reels, or I will, you know, do some ads on Instagram, or I will dance on TikTok and I'll get a bunch of customers from there. What are your thoughts on the shiny objects, and what do you think holds, in your opinion, the longer term value? If someone's going to invest in something, is it the social media strategy or is it the marketing strategy website? Excuse me.
Yeah. So I think it goes back to, I guess the best analogy I can give you is your website is like buying a piece of property, right? If you and I bought a piece of property, our friends and family could argue tomorrow that was a bad investment, because outside mm-hmm. of the money we put down, there's no equity there, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But we would hope a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that would be one of our better investments, right? Because mm-hmm. we gain equity over time. Same thing with your website. Now, here's the mistake. Here's the mistake that people are making. And as we sit here in 2024, what are we in, April? If you want to show up for Los Angeles Car Accident Attorney, you need a Los Angeles Car Accident Attorney page. If you're trying to show up, get business in Santa Monica, which is a stone throw away, it's probably, you know, I don't know, a dozen miles away, but it probably take you 4 hours to drive there. Right?
Yeah.
Santa Monica. If you want to show up for Santa Monica Car Accident Attorney, you need a Santa Monica Car Accident Attorney page.
Yeah.
So Google tries to keep these things local. And so why folks don't see success, in my opinion, is that most agencies, because it's expensive to not do this, and it's expensive to do, they only write pages for where someone's office is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go, oh, well, I show up here in Atlanta, right? I just had a client. I show up well in Atlanta for medical malpractice. But you don't show up in Marietta, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is not too far away, right? Because mm-hmm. they don't, their agency didn't write those pages. So what you want to do is make sure those deliverables, what are they doing? What is the content strategy? Where do you want, what cases do you want? Where do you want them from? And how many of them do you want? And your website, so your website is gaining equity over time, like mm-hmm. we just talked about. It doesn't happen quickly, but over time, that should be your lowest cost per acquisition, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like 12, 24, 36 months from now and plus, mm-hmm. that'll be your lowest cost per acquisition. Now, the shiny objects, to your point, one that I think everyone is crazy not to do. Anyone that's listening, if you're looking for business, if you're not involved in the local service ads, Google local service ads, or you Google Atlanta divorce lawyer, and you see those two faces come up at the top. Sometimes it's three. Google keeps testing. I think they've settled on two now. So those are amazing. That's their new pay-per-call program. Why I tell people you're crazy not to is you're only paying when the phone rings. Google only charges you, and it'll vary based on market and type of call or practice area you're going after. But to not have a line, if you're looking for more business, not have a line in the water with those. Like, even if I'm full of hot air, I'm just full of crap, and your phone doesn't ring, then you didn't spend any money. That's the only product I know of where you can participate. And if the phone doesn't ring, you don't have to pay. Right. And on top of that, the calls come in, Google allows you to dispute them. So if it's a wrong practice, if you're going off family law and it's a, you know, DUI call or whatever, personal injury call, you can dispute that call and get your money back. If you're only geographically, if you're only targeting Atlanta and something comes in from another county or state or whatever, somewhere where you're not focusing, you can dispute that and get your money back. If it's a sales call or a bot or a current client for some reason gets that number, you can dispute that. So it's even for the folks that are risk averse. I recently had a PI attorney tell me he's risk averse. Mm-hmm. I was like, you picked an interesting line of work for being risk averse, but whatever. But anyway, so yeah, I that is the new shiny object that is a safe play for sure. Okay. And I think people should go down that path and investigate that for sure.
Okay. Well, that's really good to know. I didn't even know that they didn't charge for wrong clicks or wrong phone calls. So that is really great to hear. Cause it, I don't want to say it's free marketing, but it's almost like it's accident proof a little bit. So that's at least something nice that Google is doing. And I don't think that Google does a lot of nice things, but that seems like one of the nice things that they're doing.
I don't give them a lot of credit, but they do well. When you dispute things, they do a pretty decent job, a good job of rewarding those disputes and giving you your money back. So I'll give them that credit.
Fair. Okay. So I want to talk to you about something that is one of my biggest pet peeves that I'm pretty sure I've talked about on this podcast before, which is the kitchen sink website. Now, this is the website where you go and it's like one or two attorneys and they do every single practice area. They do family law. They do personal injury. They do dog bites. They do immigration. They do commercial contracts. I can't tell you how many websites I come across that have every single practice area. I'm not just thinking like maybe two that are like maybe not really related, like personal injury and bankruptcy, which by the way, I've seen. I have no idea how those two are related. I don't know if it's like two buddies who met in law school and decided to set up their practice, and one does personal injury, the other does bankruptcy. I have no idea. But I want to talk about these kitchen sink websites because they are one of my biggest pet peeves, Travis. Tell me why those are not a good idea, especially for those newer lawyers out there who are like, oh, I don't need to spend a lot of money on a website. Oh, I'm just going to say I do everything because I don't want to lose any clients.
Yeah, we see those a lot. So from a, and I understand some of these small towns that you do everything, you know, and so I can understand that, but from a marketing perspective, let me speak on it from that perspective. If you want to show up for everything everywhere, your marketing budget just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the wider net you're trying to throw out there. So we like to say, you know, the old saying, right? The riches are in the niches, right? Mm-hmm. People are going to a website and looking for an expert. Most of the lay person out there, I put myself 20 years ago before I got in this crazy business, outside of maybe one or two friends or family that were lawyers, I didn't know anything about the law, whatever. And I didn't know how specialized attorneys typically are. Right. And attorneys tell me this all the time. Oh, I do mergers and acquisitions, but yet all my friends and family call me every time they get a DUI or want a divorce or get in a car accident or whatever, you know, but on the website, people are looking for an expert in their particular, whatever their issue it may be. And so to convert at a higher level, it will help you and convert the visitors to your website into potential clients or callers, much, much greater if you're specialized and not, like you said, the kitchen sink where it's everything all over the place, right?
Yeah.
You can't be everything to everybody typically. And outside of, you know, you live in an area where there's not a attorney for 100 miles or something like that, and you just want to make sure you're not missing any, but that's typically what it is, right? where they don't have a marketing strategy. So they're putting everything on their website, because if somebody comes to their website who needs a traffic ticket or bankruptcy or PI or work comp or whatever, they just don't want to miss that. But if your marketing strategy is dialed in correctly, and you know there's a constant flow of new business coming in the door, you're probably going to, we would all see less of those kitchen sink websites out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So listen up. If you've got a kitchen sink website, I need you to go to Travis and get rid of that, because it's not helping you at all. Okay. So let's talk about the best case scenarios that you've seen, like that you've helped people with. Give me one really good story, Travis.
I'll give you two. One more of a long-term strategy. And we have a client, this client in particular was with one of the big box store marketing agencies, and all of their content was optimized for Costa Mesa, California, right? And they got 200 or 300 visitors a month. And
that's not a lot.
That's nothing. It was basically nothing. Probably most of that is referral business, right? There are people looking them up by name and so forth. And what we were able to do, why they get 25,000 visitors to their website, here we are 3-4 years later, is because we did exactly what I talked about. Is we started building out pages of content. We write all the pages. We do all the backlinks. We do everything in-house. We started building out those pages for other cities, Newport Beach, Irvine, so on and so forth. And now they have dozens and dozens and dozens of cities for all the types of PI cases that they want. You know, general PI, because that's where how most people are searching, car accidents, motorcycle, pedestrian, so on and so forth. And we've built that out over time, every single month, coming out with 10, 20 new pages of content. And we've seen them go for a couple hundred visitors a month to 25 plus thousand visitors a month. Now they even open up an office in Las Vegas. And we started building out, about a year ago, started building out pages in Nevada. That is no doubt, from an organic SEO strategy, that is what you want to do.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you a cool story. And those are all great. The big firms that, you know, have these big fancy budgets, those are all fine and dandy and great, and we love to help them. But what's really cool, what gets me up in the morning, is, you know, when I get a call from somebody who goes, "Man, Travis, I got $3,500 at budget," or whatever, some smaller budget, and go, how I need business in the door, and I don't have this long-term budget. If I give you $1, I need to see $5 come back next month, right? Like, so there's a firm here in Southern California that does DUIs, had a $3,500 budget. I put $2,500 of it into local service ads and did a smaller budget on his website. And I said, "Listen, we're not going to move the needle in a humongous way right off the bat, but I'm going to get you cash flow through local service ads." And if we can get a few of those, he charged $3,500 for a DUI here in Southern California. And so he got 17 phone calls. Long story short is he got 17 phone calls that first month. And I got a text going, "I just had my best month ever." He got 17 phone calls. Now he does well for himself with referral business, but from his marketing alone, he got 17 phone calls, and 7 of them turned into business.
Wow. Right? 7 times 3,500. That's not a bad month for a lot of the solo attorneys out there.
24.5 off of a $3,500 spend is not too bad. And so things like that, and if I wouldn't have listened, like probably most of the agencies out there, and just put them into what I wanted him to do based on what maybe that sales rep's commission plan suggests. Mm-hmm. I listened to what he was saying, and I knew that if I would have taken that same money and put it all into the website, I would have lost his patience. I would have, you know, ran through his budget, even though it had been the right thing long-term for what he needed. We did it that way, and he was able to get that big return. And then we scaled since, and he's never looked back from there. And it's really cool to help somebody who is just starting out and help them scale their business. It's a
great feeling.
Great feeling, as you well know.
Yeah. The other thing I want to point out that Travis mentioned is this client of his was honest, right? Said, "Hey, listen, I've only got $3,500. Like, what can you do with this? I really need to make something happen," right? And there's an honesty and a vulnerability in that conversation. I know that makes some of you like kind of cringe a little bit because you're thinking, oh, I could never tell a stranger I've only got $2,000 or $2,500 to spend on this. But listen, it's going to help you because you'll, if you're working with the right team, and it sounds like they were working with the right person, Travis, they're actually able to listen and make something happen instead of pushing their agenda, which may have been, I need to close 10 SEO clients by the end of this month. Instead, you were like, you know what? Let me give this client what he actually needs, which is phone calls that turn into paying clients. And sometimes, you know, just having someone who can listen for that makes a big difference, but it also requires you as the lawyers who are listening to this to be honest, because they can, a marketing person can only do so much. They need to know what you actually need. So you've got to be honest and a little bit vulnerable in these conversations as you're going through and hiring people and choosing who's going to be on your team. Travis, any last words for our listeners and then where they can find you?
Yeah, no, I would say, feel free to reach out. We do free web audits if needed to kind of see where you're at, get a kind of a lay of the land of where your next steps need to be. You can find us at riseupmedia.com. Rise is spelled with a Z. Feel free to reach out. We do everything from, I tell people we do five things well. We build custom websites. Once those websites are live, we do SEO work. We manage social media. We manage pay-per-click campaigns and local service ads or LSAs. And so if any of those, and it doesn't require all of those products, I tell people use the shopping cart approach. When you come in, you know, you don't buy everything in the store. You just grab things off the shelf that you need. And so if they need a needs analysis and figure out what the best strategy is for them, feel free to reach out.
All right. Perfect. Thanks so much for being on, Travis. All contact links for Travis will be in the show notes. Thank you so much, listeners, for listening into this episode of the Wildly Successful Law Firm Podcast. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with a new episode.